Sometimes I find myself wondering how to respond when it seems like God isn't there. What do you say to your children who hear about the shootings? Or the phone call comes and you hear that it is. Or as you see something happen and it's a natural disaster. You know what it feels like personally. What do you say? What do you do? Tragedy strikes. And you go to be with the person who's just lost a loved one. Think of the families in the three cities we named already, let alone Orlando, let alone Paris, let alone all over the Middle East. You meet with someone who is coming face to face with abuse. What would you say to a friend born with a serious defect? Chances are you've already been there. Many of you are in the midst of tragedy itself. We watched this week, Minneapolis, Louisiana, Dallas, and you asked, what is going on, Lord? I don't know if you remember, was it 10 years ago, the tsunami hit, and hundreds of thousands lost their lives, and the people in the Middle East being destroyed, and you ask, why? And you're afraid someone is going to ask you, why? Help me understand. And this week in our summer of prayer, we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You don't have to use those exact words every time. You know, the Lord's Prayer, it's great to be memorized, but it's even greater to be reflected on and to sometimes be put in your own words. We need to know the will of God more now than ever before. I know I'm a pastor, and many of you have made that phone call to our church that we may walk with you through your time of tragedy. And I hope that the church would be your second call or your third call, so that we can begin to surround you with support and love and with God's will when tragedy hits. And many of you are being called by a friend or a family member. And I imagine you found yourself in situations where you weren't sure what to do or say either. You know, when tragedy strikes, the world would say, well, that's because God really isn't there. And if he is, how could he allow this to happen? He must be a terrible God. And we're praying, thy will be done, Lord. And as if you were here on the opening of our Lord's Prayer series, we pray, thy will be done, and then we start being the one to act upon it. I prayed for a number of years for a small group leader to be there for my son, Hunter. And finally, I said, I'm just going to answer my own prayer, and I'm going to start something called a D group for the guys in his grade. And it was has become one of my favorite things that I've gotten to do. Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and then realized God said, how about you, dummy? We can enact the will of God. We can adjust our will. You can adjust your will and your thinking to God's will and God's way. Now, because God never designed the universe with racism or disease or abuse or war, how can we say God is a good God? If God is the creator, then what happened? I would say this, because God desires a relationship with each human on the planet, God allows us to choose whether or not we relate with him and with one another. It's only because we don't relate in God's way that we've created our current situation. But the good news is God has given us a way to walk with people through every kind of circumstance. And Jesus has taught us to pray for it. Thy will be done. The problem is, if you're like me, you really are kind of praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be my name. My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen to what Paul writes to the Christ followers in Rome. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Some translations say you will be able to prove what God's will is. So many of us go through life thinking God's will is a pinprick point of light on the horizon, and if I'm off by 3 degrees, I'm going to miss it all. But this verse in Scripture says God's will can be proven right now. When we do not conform to the pattern of thinking of this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind? Yes. Today, I want us to not conform to the thinking of the latest blog posting or the latest talking head on TV or the latest thing that we see, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may be able to help understand what God's will is in a mature way. Asking how God achieves his will in the world is not some way out question. It is a gut level Christian living, and if you're not really praying that prayer, if you've really prayed, thy will be done, you will have an anchor to fall down on, to fall apart on in the storms of life, which will hold you steady when sorrows like sea billows roll. When you don't have strength to carry on to anything, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we even saying? A book we've mentioned years past by Leslie Weatherhead, it's a thin book called The Will of God, can help us here. There are millions of people who live apart from Christ, who resent and hate God because of their suffering and their misunderstanding about God's way of working in our world. And there are millions more of us who are Christ followers who are confused about God's will. And I think part of the reason is because we use the will of God to include several layers of meaning. There's three that Weatherhead outlines in his book. God's original design, when we're talking about the will of God. God's risk for relationship that is a part of the will of God. And God's victory that we think is the will of God. God's original design, the intentional perfect will of God. God's risk for relationships, in other words, circumstantial things, permissive will of God, and God's victory, which is the ultimate will and purpose of God. Let's look at each one of these. God's original design, in other words, God's best, his intentional will based on what God really wants. God's best for people can be defeated. The will of God, if you're talking about God's circumstantial will like this, can be defeated. The intentional will of God is God's perfect will for you and for the world. God has his ideal purpose for your life. God has his ideal purpose for you in this moment. God had an ideal purpose for people gathering in a rally. God has his purpose for every moment. In God's intention, his desire for you, God pours himself out in fatherly goodness. This is God's original design for the universe. And it's about time we get rid of our my kingdom come, my will be done prayers. So much of what occurs is evil. And we don't talk about evil, but we need to name the reality that much of what happens is harmful and destructive, not God's original design. God's intentional, perfect will can be defeated by the will of people for a little while. If all this were not true, you and I would have no freedom at all. All the evil that is temporarily successful, temporarily defeats the perfect will of God that happens in the world. And there are 1,000 tragedies which are furthest thing from God's intention for those situations. Gun violence, racism, injustice. Add to that starving children in the Sudan, millions of street people in India. Add to that horrors of concentration camps and modern terrorism. Tens of thousands of people that we love who lose their lives on American highways. Countless victims of child abuse and violence. The list seems endless and frankly overwhelming. We may call these things evil, or we may call them the natural result of human sin, or some people simply call them ignorance, which I don't quite get, or selfishness. These things may be accidents. We may say it's because we live in a fallen world, but don't call them the intended, planned will of God. One of the worst places where we see it happen is at funerals of people who die too young. Oh, God only takes the good ones. God needs another flower in his garden. Listen, if God needs a flower in his garden, God can grow one. There are people who seem to get a lot of comfort thinking that their tragedies are the intentional will of God. But ultimately, there is never any real comfort or support in something that is false. That's why we need to talk about Christian truth. So Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to the thinking of this world." Church, we need to rise up, Church of God, and proclaim God's goodness and be there for the people who lost their loved ones and make a difference locally and beyond, beginning today. Do not be conformed to the thinking of this world. You may end up, if you're basing your ideas of God's will without meaning in your time of need, you may end up resenting God and doing yourself emotional and spiritual damage. There's another thing that we call the will of God, and it's because of God's risk for relationship, and that is the permissive will of God, and this is the hardest one. Because God is love and will not force you into relationship, God allows for the possibility of sin, and it's that serious. Sin is that serious. Never mind if we sound like the church lady. Never mind if we sound like your grandma or your great-grandma. Sin is that serious. The permissive will of God is operative in our fallen world. Paul said, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only do we humans have imperfections and infirmities that lead us to fear and lead us to hate, but the radical effect goes through all of nature with its disasters. Sin is so serious that not only does it cause brokenness in relationships, but it has caused a radical imbalance and an imperfection in the very fabric of creation. Humanity's free will creates circumstances of evil that can run across God's plans, cut across them. There's the circumstantial or the permissive will of God, because God allowed us to be made in his image, thus meaning we have the ability to choose. We don't like to think about it, but ultimately, you will face a choice among two roads. Thy will be done, my will be done. Heaven or earth. We don't like to think. We think we can marry what we want to hold on to all of it. when God is going to ask us to choose, because that's being made in the image of God. It is within the circumstantial will of God that God calls us to be the church. Now, the principle of Romans 8:28 is so vital for our Christian lives. It is this: we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Now, some of you have been through an awful lot of the all things that work together for good Paul writes about. God does not want to make those things good, but God can bring good things out of it as God brings you through those things. This is just one example. Could it be, perhaps because of these tragedies, that we all wake up to Jesus' words more and serve one another more and look for isolated people who need a friend more, including the least of these that Jesus talks about? Could it be that we even learn to love our enemies more? Heed God's word from Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The way to cast out darkness is not to get into more darkness. Do not conform to the thinking or the pattern of this world. Darkness does not overcome darkness. Light does. Don't fall into the rhetoric. Leslie Weatherhead writes it this way: nothing can happen to you that God cannot use for good. Now, that doesn't mean what happened to you was good. It's a very serious statement. But there's this ray of hope in there. That may be what we mean when we say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done by me, Lord. Let me start there. There are no circumstances which are so deadly in and of themselves that they can keep us down as Christ followers or defeat God, not even death itself. God is never beaten by any possible combination of circumstances. Even when the laws of the universe that God has set up clash with each other. For example, a child made of flesh and bones and gravity that keeps us on the earth. There's a reason God designed both of those things, but because of the brokenness of our world, sometimes they clash. And that's a result, I believe, of humanity's choosing a way and moving away from God, or saying it's no big deal. It's one little apple on a tree. That's the circumstantial will of God. That will disappear when God's kingdom is come, when Jesus is in full reign again. Right now we're in enemy-occupied territory. Jesus landed. We are still under the sway of the enemy, but the king landed on our shores. Do you know it? Are you living it that way? Then there's the third thing that we mean by God's will, and that is God's victory, his ultimate will. Because in the end, the ultimate will of God can never be defeated. Picture some kids playing in a little mountain stream. They build little dams of rocks and sticks and mud. They divert the stream. They float little paper boats in the puddles and the eddies. But the stream continues to surge down the river and the valley. Now picture engineers building great dams, changing the course of rivers with lakes and locks, diverting their flow. Yet even they can't stop the streams from flowing to the sea. In our lives, so many things are sins and mistakes, hatred of people, the accidents of life, the fear that many live under, the sins of others against us, they may divert and temporarily defeat God's plans and his purposes, like the first meaning of God's will. But even in new circumstances created by those evils, created by those accidents, God will provide other channels to carry out his ultimate will. And we are called to name that when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So, does God's will only come through us? Like, unless I act, God's will is not going to happen? What do I mean when we talk about the omnipotence of God? Omni, all, potence, power. What do we mean by the omnipotence of God? It does not mean that by sheer force of power that God gets his own way. That would make our freedom an illusion, and it would make our spiritual growing up impossible. When we say God has power, we're talking about God has the ability to achieve his purposes. To say that God is all-powerful, omnipotent, means that nothing can happen that will ultimately defeat him. We remember that we worship a God who knows firsthand what it means to be publicly and unjustly murdered. We behold our suffering Savior who has personally felt the sting of oppression and mindless hatred. Purely from a human standpoint, it was the most heinous crime in history. God the Creator crucified. But 6 weeks later, Jesus' followers were preaching about that very same death on the cross. And now this torture instrument, this shameful capital punishment, this tool of death is a symbol of mercy and love and forgiveness and hope and a new beginning and a next step and life and self-sacrifice. God had made our crime his instrument to save the whole world. And so for the sake of his name and for those he loves, we work for justice, we work for peace in our society, for all people, including the least of these. And human evil and accidents and disasters create terrible pain in the midst of our lives. And in order to share God's love with the world, we have to take people's circumstances seriously. We can't say, "Oh, it doesn't matter. God's in control." We say, "It matters. What you're going through matters. And I am here for you. I want to love you if you will let me." Our church, if you are visiting, we will love you if you let us. For those of us who love God and who are called and who cooperate with his purpose, for those of us who pray, "Thy will be done," we know our suffering cannot separate us from God's love. It cannot defeat the working out of God's purpose in our lives and in the world. Paul writes to the Christ followers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults." You know, I think Paul would say to us today, "Brothers and sisters, think on these things. Be mature in your understanding. Because someday the emotional balance and the spiritual life of you, yourself, or someone else, including the whole country, may depend on your mature understanding in this matter." And you've been praying for a long time, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Who else is going to do that beyond the church? I believe more than ever that the church is the hope of the world. And those situations, because the church contains the message of Jesus Christ, will see hope if we go beyond our comfort zones, if we respond when we sense God speaking, if we come together as a community, if we speak from a position of servant strength, not just victimization. The church contains the message of Jesus, not necessarily the government or our economy or even the schools. We have a part to play in 2016 to finish that thought of Jesus on earth as it is in heaven. Who else is going to do that? How good it will look. Heaven around here, I mean. Can you imagine what our communities would look like if we shared a mature understanding of thy will be done and then enacted God's will with people as they experience the inevitable tragedies of life? May it be our prayer. And may you be the answer to someone's prayer. Perhaps even your own. Let us pray. Almighty God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we just pause there because we're coming to realize prayer is not just about bless me, help me. But it is about pausing to look to you. Lord, we understand that the clearer vision we have of you, the more we will understand that you know our needs. We pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That your kingdom come. That we be citizens of your kingdom, even though we are in occupied territory of the enemy. Lord, we do lift up people going through deep struggles right here in this room. We lift up to you people in all the cities of our country and around the world who do not have enough, who have lost hope. And God, I can't help but think that it is your will that we be ascending church. Lord, that we don't just gather, but we then go out to make disciples for the transformation of the world. God, what are we transforming? That the kingdoms of this world may be the kingdoms of our Lord and Christ. Thank you, God, that you showed us how to do it through your Son, Jesus. And not only that, but you gave us the strength to do it by his life and death and resurrection and sending of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that you did not leave us alone, but that you have called us to your mission in the midst of it all. Lord, for some of us, that mission is in our hearts. We need to minister to our own hearts, to our own minds, to our own strength, so that we can love you with them. For some of us, we need to minister, thy will be done, to our families. To hold back our old prejudices. To release a new found love that is thy will. Lord, for some of us, we need to be sent out into our minds to let go of our false views of you. And then to be sent out into our towns, to our communities, into our schools, into our governments, into our economy to make a difference for you. Lord, you know every need. You know every heart. Nothing is hidden from you. And in the light of your will, we pray thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray these things in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.